So good evening. Welcome to today's meeting of the Commonwealth Club of California. Find us on the internet at commonwealthclub.org. I'm Gina Bellaria, former Lit Director here at the Commonwealth Club and current consultant with Bellaria Creative. It is my pleasure to introduce Christy Coty, founder, artistic director, and choreographer of Libertango Dancers. Coty has been specializing in Argentine tango for 14 years and has done a lot for dance education. She is creator and director of the Argentine Tango program at San Francisco's Cheryl Burke Dance, and she conducts two-day tango boot camps, which draw students from all over the country. Coty's teaching method has been published in the Argentine Tango Manual by Dance Vision, and she collaborated on a 20-DVD instructional series. She is founding member of the all-female tango company Tango Confusion, and has been featured in the media, including Evening Magazine, KTVU Segment 2, The Chronicle, and Dance Spirit Magazine. Please join me in welcoming Christy Coty and later her dancers.
Thank you. Thank you, Gina. Nice to be here.
So it is so exciting to have you here, and I want to talk about everything tango. The first thing I want to know is I'm hearing a lot about different forms of tango. Can you talk a little bit about the difference between Argentine tango and the other forms?
Absolutely. Argentine tango is the original form of tango. It comes from, of course, Argentina, although some may argue that it actually came from the country of Uruguay. Originally, those countries were one. They were not independent, and that's really the birthplace of this form of dance. But later on, the dance moved its way over to Paris, where it became all the rage, and the Europeans took the dance, and especially the people of England, where ballroom dancing was really popular, and they kind of cleaned it up a little bit because it had this little raw edge to it, and it wasn't quite acceptable to the culture. So they cleaned it up, and that became ballroom tango, which today is seen in two forms. You have an American ballroom tango and also an international ballroom tango. Still very popular in the ballroom scene, but the dance we dance is very specialized. It's the original form of Argentine tango, and we do this in clubs and different venues in all the major cities all around the world.
Excellent. So tell me a little bit about what got you into tango? What was it about the tango that drew you?
Well, I was a ballroom teacher, so I do know that side of it. But one day I saw the show Forever Tango here in San Francisco. How many of you have seen that show? Yeah, it's a wonderful show, and it really struck me. It came to San Francisco to play for 2 weeks, and it stayed here for 2 years. And during those 2 years, I saw it one time, and I was so mesmerized, and I thought right away, I need to learn that dance. And I wanted to see it again and again, so I signed up to be an usher, and I saw it 55 times. There's actually a gentleman here tonight, Fred, who I met at ushering. We were both ushers there at the same time. And where's Fred? Right here in the front. Yeah, and he ushered, I think, 45 times or something close. I think I beat him by one. And I really was just so taken with the dance. And so I had the fortunate experience of taking classes with one of the dancers from the show, Carla Scavito, who's one of the most famous tango dancers of all time and who's no longer with us. But he became my mentor and taught me everything I know about this dance. And it was just a really special experience.
Oh, wow. Yeah. What for someone with a ballroom background, what was it like to step into? I want to talk a little bit about the freedom of Argentine tango in a bit, but what was it like to step into that freer world?
Very, very different. It took a little bit of getting used to. I had to remember to take my head from this position way over here to over here. That in itself is like a major feat, you know, and at first it sort of seemed like, well, I'm already good at something else. Why should I make this effort? But I slowly began to see that this dance is really something very, very special, and it's a very passionate dance. It's a dance that comes from within, much more like a martial arts, like meditation. People compare it to practicing yoga or like a dance like flamenco, which is really rooted in the earth, you know, that kind of feeling. So it was very appealing to me, and it stuck.
Excellent. So I just wanted to tell everybody out in the audience, in a few minutes, if you have any questions, we have our question cards. We also tonight have a mic here on the house left. So if anybody has any questions they want to ask out in front of the world, please feel free. Right now, I would love to, we have a few dance demonstrations we're going to do throughout the interview, and I'd love to do the first one.
Yes, would you like to see a little tango dancing now? We have four of the couples we're going to dance for you now are going to dance one of the original forms of tango. Actually, before tango was a dance form called the milonga. And it was actually, when you think of tango, you think of the dance being quite serious, and people usually dance with a very serious look on their face. But prior to the actual tango was the milonga, and this was a much happier dance. If people smile when they dance, it's a very upbeat, rhythmic music. And so we're going to have our dancers for milonga come up to the dance floor, our little dance floor, kind of circling around you here. And we'll introduce to you. We have Lawrence and Rochelle here. Yes, right down in front. We have Bob and Andrea. Yes. And over here we have Jonas and Nancy and Noel and Peter. Yes. Take it away. The first song. Sorry, a little technical difficulty there. There we go. This is the milonga.
Llaman el porteñito, el que yo más compadrito en esta tierra nació. Y al bailar un tango criollo, no hay ninguno que me iguale, porque largo todo el rollo cuando me pongo a bailar.
Ahora que está lindo el baile, bríndase, comadre, y el compadre,
tiempo bravo del tambito, bailarín de mucha menta, forma seña el porteñito. Y al bailar un tango bravo, loco con corte y quebrada, para dejar bien sentada mi fama de bailarín.
Thank you, dancers. It's interesting, I think, because we have so many, the people who come to dance Argentine tango span a great variety of different ages, people of all walks of life. You saw dancing there, Peter, who's a law student here. We have Andrea, who's a translator, German English translator with some of the big Fortune 500 companies. Very interesting mix of people, so it's always fun to meet people on the dance floor.
Definitely, definitely. I want to talk about that in a little bit, but I want to actually talk a little bit about the milonga itself for a second. It looks almost like a four-count waltz.
Exactly, yeah. It's a 2-4 timing, and it's a much more upbeat music, as you can tell. So we say it's the happy tango.
And where did it come from?
It came from the early form of the dance, which actually has African roots, which is very interesting, because this dance really is a blending of cultures. And at that time in the 1800s, mid-1800s, you had slave trade to Argentina. You also had an influx of people from Europe who had come to seek fortune in Argentina. That time, it was really the land of riches, and they went there to seek their fortunes. And you had a lot of Spanish, German, Italians especially, all the Europeans coming into Argentina, into the port city of Buenos Aires. And also you had the gauchos, the Argentine cowboys, who were being removed from their camps in the country and coming to the city to work And all of these cultures came together and blended into what became the tango. So the original milonga has a lot of African influence, and you can hear kind of in the rhythm of it that it has that Africano feeling. The habanera is what they call the rhythm.
Okay. Yeah, and I also know, it was funny, I was trying to watch it, and there was the waltz, but there was also that little Latin flavor, and I thought that was very interesting.
Exactly.
So, you know, you mentioned earlier Forever Tango, and tango really has made this resurgence. Why do you think that is? What do you think draws people to
it? I think it's a very interesting study, really. It's a dance in which you'll see more when we dance the tango, but it's a very passionate dance, as I mentioned before, and we dance very close. There's a lot of human connection. Mm-hmm. This is something that maybe is quite missing in our world today, and that because we're today so much online and, you know, interactive with all the media that we have, and we live a very different life than we did a long time ago. So I think, generally speaking, people are drawn to this dance because of the human connection that you find in the dance.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Okay, so I'd love to do the second dance at this point. This is more into the tango.
Yeah, so now the dancers will be dancing tango, tango. And the song is by Carlos de Sarli, one of the most famous orchestra leaders of the golden era of tango in the 30s and 40s and into the early 50s. And his orchestra played a very famous song called Bahia Blanca, written in name of the town in which Carlos de Sarli was born, Bahia Blanca, Argentina. So we have two other dancers joining us. Let's have the dancers come to the floor now. Who didn't we introduce last time? We have Terry's going to be dancing with Peter this time. So Terry, wave to us, Terry. And we have Sammy and Noelle are going to be joining us. And let's see, Phil and Susan. I think I've introduced everyone now. Wave there, Phil and Susan. Very good. Yes, Bahia Blanca.
Thank you very much. See you guys. That was beautiful. So talk a little bit about the difference between the milonga and what we just saw.
Well, there's sort of a feeling in the dance that's much more solemn, right, in the tango. So really is a reflection on what took place when the music went from milonga to tango. All these people that came to Argentina to seek their fortune, unfortunately, didn't find their fortune. They found a life of despair, really. They lived in the conventillos, which are the tenement buildings that they lived in a very poor environment, very difficult circumstances, and they didn't make their fortune. So they were there, mostly men. They were missing their loved ones back in Europe. And it became a very melancholy feeling that was brought into the dance. And that is what turned it into tango. And they would share their music and dance with one another in sort of a way of making themselves feel better or remembering their loved ones back home. So the dance reflects that.
Yeah, very much. And it's interesting, I think about swing dancing, which is the dance I dance in. And it's very upbeat, and it kind of came out of a similar, well, kind of came out of, war.
Yes, exactly.
But it was so much, they kind of took a different tack on it.
Yes, and it's interesting in Argentina because it was only danced by the immigrants and the lower class of the city at that time.
Oh, interesting.
And it was not danced by people of upper breeding, And it was really had a terrible reputation, and it wasn't until the tango went to Paris that it became popular. And then when the Parisians thought it was all the rage and the Argentines got wind of that, they said, that's our dance. And then they began to embrace the dance, and slowly the dance came up through the socioeconomic classes until it really sort of made its way up there, but never completely. There's still a little edge about it. People often say the dance was born in the brothels. Well, the brothels were part of it because at that time, as I said, there were so many immigrants, most of them men, leaving their families at home. Well, what else would there be but brothels? And in the brothels, they did dance tango. So
interesting. When did it go over to Paris?
It was in the teens and 20s, and many of you may know the name Carlos Gardel. He's probably the one to thank for that, one of the most famous singers who unfortunately lost his life at a very early age, 1935. He would have actually been 75 this year, but he died tragically in a plane crash, 1935. But before that, he went from Argentina to Paris, and he had a beautiful singing voice, and he sang tangos, and he was just the darling of the Parisian society. And from there, tango became very, very popular in Paris, and later on became popular back in Argentina.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I'm sorry. So I wanted to go to the audience. How many people in the audience dance tango? Excellent.
Yay.
How many people in the audience dance some other dance, swing dancing, waltzing, ballroom in general?
Oh, very good.
Excellent. So then my next question to you is, and I've tango danced a couple times in my life, but for me, and I don't know about the audience, but for me it was like, oh, so serious. I don't know. That's tough. I'm not sure I can do it. And I had a friend's family party. Her uncle dragged me out maybe. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of fun. But by looking at it, it looks so impenetrable and serious, at least to me. I might be.
Yeah.
How do you?
I don't know. We're quite serious when we dance. We're very serious about the dance. It takes a bit of concentration. So sometimes people say we don't smile because we're so busy concentrating. But really, we're not smiling because we're really into the music. And the music is very solemn. So it just puts that expression on our face. But at the same time, it is a dance of a bit of dedication. It really is. And in one sense, well, people ask a lot of questions about learning this dance. Often they'll say, well, how many weeks do I need to learn the dance? Well, it's a big question, and I like to relate it to learning a language. So many of you have learned a second language, I'm sure, and you could go and just take a six-week course, and you could go then to Mexico and speak a little Spanish and have a lot of fun with it. And you can do the same with tango. You can come take a course and have a lot of fun and maybe go to a dance, dance a few dances. But if you want to write a novel, you're going to be studying for a very long, long time. And some of us are on one end of the spectrum or the other, and some of us are in the middle. We just want to have a social experience. And for that, it takes, maybe a good year to be proficient enough that you feel confident, that you can ask anyone to dance, and you can communicate with them. Because it is a language. As long as you have the grammar and vocabulary, you're actually improvising the dance, and you can speak it, or as we say, speak with anyone or dance with anybody, even from another country, someone that you've never met, as long as they also know the same grammar and vocabulary.
Excellent. You talked a little bit about, I'm curious to know about the dancers, how different people got into the tango and what their stories are. Either we can have you share or they can come up to the mic and share some of their stories.
It would be nice if I like Bob has great stories. I mean, some of the things Bob has always shared with me about his learning experience. One, he lost 22 pounds when he began to dance tango, which is a great incentive for anyone after the holidays, right? Would you like to tell us a little bit more about how you got interested, Bob? That microphone?
Yeah, yes, please.
Well, actually, the tango dancing started as a gift.
Better? Yeah, so the tango dancing started really, my wife gave me a wonderful gift one year for Christmas, which was, I used to be a pilot, and she bought me a ride in a World War II airplane. It became such a thing that I had to top the gift, and she wanted to learn dancing. So I bought her ballroom dance lessons, which turned out to be more of a present for me because after a few months of ballroom, we met Christy, and we started into tango 5 years ago. And from that, it's just been almost an obsession. What I do during the daytime has become my second job, and dancing the tango is the primary job.
What do you do during the day?
I work for Juniper Networks. I'm a senior manager of the telecommunications department down there. And that job's boring now. But the thing is that it's really become a wonderful thing. It's lowered my weight 22 pounds, like Christy says, and also it's brought my blood pressure under control, which the hospital never could do. I go to the VA hospital out in San Francisco, and you can see the chart just shows it falling off as we dance, and we dance three nights a week. So
very good. And Bob's going to be teaching people in the VA hospital coming up soon, too, so that'll be really nice. Very nice.
Is there anybody else that you want to talk
Maybe about? Terry, would you like to tell us a little bit? Terry is a clinical nurse specialist in integrative medicine at California Pacific Medical Center.
It was about this time of year, New Year's, and I was reading a poem, and it said, "You can either come to God dancing or on a stretcher." And I thought, I'm going to come dancing. 5 minutes later, I slipped and fell and broke my kneecap. But 2 months later, I was tango dancing with Christy.
Yes. How did you find tango?
I've done ballet in the past, and I've always wanted to learn tango. So
okay.
I do it.
Excellent.
Sometimes we say that tango comes to people for certain reasons in their life, you know, and it's not always clear why that is in the beginning. You might just find, oh, I just decided to take this class. I don't know why, you know, it's fun. And then a few months later, or maybe a year later, something in your life happens. You find, wow, this dance is helping me. Or maybe something had already happened, like a loss of a job, a loss of a loved one, medical problems, anything like along that line. And then you find, well, I guess there's a reason why this happened to me, that I began to dance tango, because the tango has healing properties. Mm-hmm. I had this experience myself, but 2 years after I began dancing tango, I was diagnosed with breast cancer, and it was a very scary experience for me, not really knowing much about that at all, and feeling as though I'd just been giving a death sentence. And so through 9 months of treatment, I danced tango almost every day, and I believe that tango helped me to survive, and now 10 years later, cancer-free.
Oh, that's wonderful. I would love to go to dance number three at this point. If
yes. Okay. And dance number three is the dance that we're going to do called La Jumba. It's by a very famous orchestra, the orchestra of Osvaldo Pugliese. He was a little bit more dramatic in his styling. You often hear his music used in the shows like Forever Tango. And the next song that we'll play is called La Jumba. And La Jumba is a omnipoetic word, I never say that correctly, which is a sound, right? The sound was the sound he heard when he was rehearsing in his studio, and the dancers were rehearsing the dance upstairs in another studio. And as they danced across the floor, it was sort of a zhum, zhum. And so he called the sound La Jumba and wrote this song. And we'll have our dancers dance to this song for you, La Jumba.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Just a little reminder, you're here at the Commonwealth Club. We're talking with Christy Coty, founder, choreographer, and artistic director of Libre Tango Dancers. I'm Gina Bellaria. So that dance seemed a little bit more upbeat.
Yes. Well, it's a stronger beat anyway. Yeah. Maybe not in a happy way, but it's a stronger, more dramatic beat. And this is a more representative of the little bit later tango, late 40s, early 50s, when tango was still very popular, but the music was beginning to evolve to some degree.
And that's just by virtue of the fact that it was moving into a period with different, merging with different music styles?
Or? Yes, that's true. I guess it's each, you know, each musical director had their own ideas about the direction of the music, and in fact the next song that we'll dance to is a song that represents a big change in the music around the late 40s when Juan D'Arienzo was one of the most popular orchestra leaders in Argentina at the time, and he was called the King of the Rhythm, El Rey de Compás, they called him, and it was because he played a very rhythmic, strong rhythm, and it also sounds a little bit more happy than some of the other tangos, so...
Excellent.
And the next song up, we'll be dancing to that music.
Okay, we'll get to that very soon. I want to talk a little bit about sort of the emotion of tango. You've talked a little bit about sort of the dark place that it came from.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, for you as a dancer, what emotions does tango evoke for you when you hear the music, when you're on the floor?
Mm-hmm. I think it's just a feeling of extreme beauty. The music is very, very beautiful. Although I have to admit that initially hearing the music, I wasn't so enthusiastic because it's a very sophisticated music, and it... It takes a while for your ear to become accustomed to it if you're not familiar with it. My partner Adolfo, that I'll be dancing with later here, he actually grew up with the music in Costa Rica, and he was a very big fan of tango music before he ever danced. And so, for example, for him, the music was already there. He's very familiar with it, like many people from Argentina. And those people tend to dance more, or find it easier to dance this dance because the music is already in their body. But for me, it was sort of the other way around. When I first saw the show Forever Tango, I don't know if you remember the show, that you'd have one number with dancers and another number with just orchestration. And I just thought, like, well, no dancers? I couldn't wait for that piece to be over to get to the dancing. But as I listened to the tango more and more, it grew on me. And it's the kind of music that, with popular music, for example, if you have your favorite song this month, well, probably next year you don't want to hear it anymore. You get really tired of it really quick. With the tango, the more you hear that song, the more you start to hear different things, like the sophistication of contemporary symphonic music. So...
Okay, great. I remember Forever Tango. I remember it being very controlled, and yet there was so much bubbling under the surface,
which
I found fascinating.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you see, the dancers are very still on the upper body. If they say that for good dancers to be really good in the tango, if you look at the waist up, there should be really no movement, and all the movement is from the waist down and all the leg work. So it's very hard to sort of maintain that very stillness while moving the legs very quickly and hooking from one person's leg to the other.
I was reading a little bit about Argentine tango versus ballroom tango and the idea that dancers can move on the same foot at the same time.
Yes.
And you know, generally you're moving in a mirror. Can you talk a little bit about how that works?
Absolutely. Yeah, this is one of the most fascinating things about the dance. And a lot of you raised your hands when we asked about if you dance other dances. And all of those other dances are 99.9% of the time danced in what we would call parallel system. So when the leader's left foot is moving, the follower's right foot is moving in opposition, right? Natural opposite, sometimes it's called. This is the normal way that we do partner dancing in all the world and all of the dances. However, in Argentine tango is unique because it's danced in two systems. The other system we call cross system, where both the leader and the follower, the man and the woman, could be on the same foot. So both right foot moving together and both left feet moving together. And it's quite fascinating because it becomes almost like two dances merged into one, and that gets very complicated. There's almost a sort of mathematic thing that goes on that the leader has to sort of calculate and figure out as he dances and moves from one system to the other and never tripping the follower, moving with the music, not bumping into the other couples on the dance floor. It gets quite complicated.
How much freedom is there for the follower to improvise, or do you...
Yeah, it's a very interesting question because this dance is very much the leader's dance. It truly is a leader's dance. However, we say that the followers, who are more typically, you know, you think of the stereotypical image, the man leading and the woman following. However, we have many examples. We have one here today of two women dancing together. It's becoming more and more common as well. But we always need two parts of the dance. We need a leader and we need a follower. It's sort of unfortunate, the name that we use, leader and follower, because in fact, the leader does a lot of following. So the leader controls the dance, and that the leader listens to the music, and we always say it's like going to the floor and seeing a blank canvas and painting a picture. So the leader designs that picture. He starts to move around the dance floor and design the picture, going around this line of dance, which always goes counterclockwise around the ballroom. While the follower accepts the invitations to each movement of the dance, but once the follower accepts that movement, the leader then follows the movement. And that's how we're able to communicate with one another and not look as though we're tripping over one another in the dance. So it always moves very fluidly, just like having a conversation. I say something, Gina responds back and forth, but we don't interrupt each other. We don't, if we misunderstand, we just sort of keep going with the conversation.
Okay, great. I want to get back to the music a little bit as we lead into the next dance. You know, we were hearing Argentine tango music,
yes.
And you've talked a little bit about it, but what makes it tango? What?
This is a very interesting question because I've actually asked that question of musicians before, tango musicians, and they can't really tell me other than the tango always has what's called the habanera rhythm. And that underlying rhythm that kind of goes bum 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 ba da da bum, this kind of rhythm that you hear underlying, but it's very subtle in some songs. So it's always hard to kind of put your finger on this is a tango. However, if you play any music for me, I'll tell you whether it's a tango or not. That's kind of how most of us dancers feel. We know it when we hear it.
Right, exactly.
And we also dance to three different types of tango music. Well, the milonga we talked about, tango, but there's also the waltz, which is an Argentine waltz. So when we do our social dancing in the parties of this dance, we dance actually not just tango, we dance milonga, waltz, and tango.
Oh, wow.
And we're going to dance a waltz a little later
on. Oh, I can't wait to see that. All right, well, let's lead into
the
next dance.
The next dance, I'm going to get up and dance with my partner, Adolfo Casari. And we are going to be dancing to the King of the Rhythm. We mentioned before Juan D'Arienzo. This song is called Pensalo Bien. Think well before you move, something like that. And it's a very rhythmic dance.
Que tal vez mañana acaso no puedas retroceder, pensalo bien, ya que tanto te he querido y lo has echado al olvido, tal vez por otro querer. Thank you.
was so moved by that. That was beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's just so enjoyable to dance it.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about, you mentioned earlier that this represented a shift in the music. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about that?
They say that Juan D'Arienzo put the music back in the feet, because before that it was a little more focused on the vocals of the dance and people listening to the music. And then the dance halls began to fill in the 30s and into the early 40s. But really when Juan D'Arienzo and other orchestra leaders also sort of emulated his style and got that rhythm going, you get a sense of that strong rhythm, much different than the other tangos. That rhythm is what brought lots of people to the dance floor, a lot of young people actually, and there began to be big dances with 1,000 people and an orchestra with many, many musicians, maybe 30 musicians in an orchestra. Remember that they didn't have speakers and microphones, so they had to have a lot of musicians to carry the sound into a big enough hall for 1,000 people to dance. So it was a really big surge in the tango scene at that time in Buenos Aires.
That's incredible. Did that surge happen elsewhere, or was it really led by Buenos Aires?
It was really led by Buenos Aires at that time. It's kind of interesting, the history of tango, because it's been popular in other parts of the world, but primarily Paris and France, and also Japan. Actually, the Japanese have always been big fans of the tango, but it hasn't always been popular at the same time periods. It sort of went to different places in different decades. And a lot of that due to some historical factors. One book which I brought here to sort of demonstrate to you, to show you, it's called Tango, The History of an Obsession. It's written by Virginia Gift, and she is an historian who became a tango dancer like many of us. And she decided to write another book about history, but this time about the obsession of Argentine tango. So it's a very interesting book. So if you find that subject matter interesting, I highly recommend it. It's only been out for about a month, available on Amazon.com, of course, and really well written. But it tells all about that, all the economic and social factors that that factored into this history of tango and why this obsession. And so it's just a very interesting history.
Were there any commonalities as far as when popularity rose in a certain region? Mm-hmm. Was there sort of a similar reason each time?
Not particularly. Okay. It's always a little bit different. But maybe the more commonality is sort of economic or political problems that made the tango not be so popular. Like in the mid-50s, there was the dictatorship in Argentina, and this is the big part of the tango history, because tango was at its peak and it was so popular, but the dictatorship came in and said that they didn't want people out after curfew, and they would raid the tango places, the salons where they had the tango dancing, and people didn't feel comfortable to go out at night and socialize anymore. So tango died, and they also, the musicians didn't have work, so they began to not record music. They weren't getting paid for their work, so a lot of them fled to Paris. So consequently, there was also like a resurgence of tango in Paris because of that. They couldn't do it in Argentina, so they went to Paris and also to Japan at the same time.
That was my next question. I'm very fascinated by the Japan angle.
It's very interesting. There's a story, actually it's written about in Virginia's book, that a very prominent Japanese businessman traveled to Paris in the 20s, and he became fascinated with tango there. And actually there's a big, culturally speaking, the French and also the Japanese almost feel like it's their dance. Yeah, more so than Argentina. And because they really took it upon themselves to make it a popular dance when it wasn't even popular in Argentina. So they feel more proud of it than as if it were their own. But this Japanese businessman returned to Japan. They say that he bought like 20 records of Argentine tango when he was in Paris, and he brought them to Japan, and people loved them. Everyone went crazy, and he had these dances, and he played these records, and then pretty soon he made his own recording company so he could record his own tangos, because they needed more records. And one thing led to another. Anyway, it was sort of the start of this interest in Argentine tango. So that's like 100 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And it's been going strong ever since.
So it's still popular today.
It's very popular.
Now, have you traveled to all of these regions, Japan, Paris, Argentina?
Not for tango. When we tango dancers talk about travel, we always say BT, before tango. So I've been to those places BT, before tango.
Fair enough.
It's a very different experience. So I haven't had a chance to teach or dance in either of those cities. But I have traveled pretty far away, like Istanbul, Turkey. Oh, wow. A very interesting place. I went there to teach at a festival, and it's just great because when you go to a place like that where the culture is very warm and people, like even men, tend to embrace one another when greeting, you find a culture which really works well for Argentine tango. And as opposed to, like, in American culture, we don't like to get too close for the most part. We shake hands. That's how we greet. And so even this, we see this a lot with the tango classes. When people first come to class and we change partners, they're like, hi, nice to meet you. Let's dance, you know. But in a very short period of time, right, we have everybody hugging after a half an hour of class. So you have to get used to that close body contact.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I did want to talk a little bit about the popularity in the U.S. And also a little bit about what the U.S. may have brought to tango, or how the U.S. Mm-hmm. may have influenced tango, if at all, or if it's just taking what it gets.
Yeah. Interesting. I mean, the popularity of tango in the United States really began in the late 80s with the show Tango Argentino. That show came to San Francisco, I think it was 87 or 88. Anybody saw that show at the Orpheum Theater? Yes. It was also a really wonderful example of Argentine tango. And something everyone always remembers about the show is that there were some older couples and kind of heavy set, and the woman jumping on the man's knee and everything. And everybody remembers, wow, that's really impressive, you know. To this day, people will remark on that. But that show, and also subsequently the Forever Tango show, touring the United States, brought this example of Argentine tango to so many cities. And people, like my own experience, saw the show and wanted to learn. And a lot of the dancers from the shows began to teach, because that was a way for them to make money on the side. And even though they weren't even inclined to do that, but the people said, oh, come on, teach us. And a local ballroom here, for example, hired some of the teachers to come and do workshops. And so consequently, it was really the shows traveling to the United States and the people being so enthusiastic that started this resurgence in the late 80s. And so it slowly began, and a lot of people who, like myself, who became very obsessed with the dance and wanted to teach it, just continued that. And consequently, we have some amazing teachers in the United States. People have really dedicated themselves to this form of art and have spread it out to so many places. And now we have huge tango communities in every city in the United States, all over the world for that matter. But you can go many places that I've gone. You might be very surprised. I've taught in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. I teach frequently in St. Louis Obispo on the coast, where there's pockets of people that dance Argentine tango. Mm-hmm. And with today's internet, it's another reason why we're all very connected and well-informed about the dance. We can share information about the dance on YouTube or all these kinds of media opportunities that we now have.
Cool. That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. I want to delve a little bit into your boot camps and sort of the modern-day dance phenomenon in just a second. But if you're ready, we can go into your fifth dance.
Yes, we're going to the next one. Now, it's talking about the modern dance times here. What's happened more recently is a big change in the music in the techno tango area, or electronica, it's called. And these are some bands like Gotan Project, which became very popular in Europe and started to play a more new form of the tango. And we're going to play one of those called Santa Maria for you by Gotan Project. Gotan is actually tango reversed. That's where they got that name. And as most of these techno songs are usually about 5 or 6 minutes, we're going to play just the last part of that song for you and invite our dancers to demonstrate for you this dance, in which they still dance their traditional Argentine tango, but the music is slightly alternative, and many of the dancers find it interesting.
Argentina, Buenos Aires, el puerto de Santa María del Guanay.
So yeah, you can really even almost hear the musicians starting to improvise a little more.
Yeah, exactly. It's a very modern sound, and this music is very popular with people who don't dance tango as well. So this has been good for our dance because a lot of people become fans of the music, and later on they find out that, oh, there's a bunch of people dancing tango to that music, and then they find their way into the dance. So consequently, we have a real surge of young people dancing Argentine tango now as well.
That's excellent. So on those same lines, we have a question from the audience.
Okay.
Please give your opinion on the Argentine and European tango we see on shows like Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, okay.
Has that show done anything for tango's popularity and for your school? And I also want to add to that whole phenomenon of dance shows, on TV.
Absolutely. I think it's great. I mean, I work for Cheryl Burke Dance here in San Francisco, which Cheryl Burke, of course, being one of the instructors on the Dancing with the Stars show. So there is a lot more people coming into competitive ballroom dancing because of that. And because I work in many ballrooms, that's good for Argentine tango, too, because usually what happens, they come to dance ballroom, but when they find out about Argentine tango, they never go back. Making me not very popular with the ballroom instructors. But it happened to many of the dancers here, too. So they started with ballroom, but they pretty much, you know, even though they may still enjoy ballroom, they typically don't go back to ballroom.
Okay.
Yeah.
We also have a lot of questions about your teaching, where you teach, how to get involved. And to that end, I want to ask a little bit specifically about the boot camps.
Yes, we do. Something very popular is called the Argentine Tango Boot Camps. We do them several times a year at different levels, but we do offer one for beginners. We actually have one coming up January 30th and 31st at Linden Street Dance, which is in Oakland, just north of Jack London Square. And in these boot camps, we do 13 hours of instruction over 2 days. And it's pretty tough, you know. We make you do push-ups and everything. But only if you make a mistake. But we have a unique way of doing it. We have a team headed up by Bob. We call him Sergeant Bob over here. And we have a team of volunteers. Many of our dancers here will be volunteering for the boot camp. And so the beginners don't have to dance with other beginners, but rather with people with a lot of experience. And so that helps the process go much faster. So we typically have almost as many assistants to the boot camp as we have students.
Oh, excellent. And how grueling is it?
It sounds more grueling than it is, to be honest. We divide it up into different segments, and we do things like we have a pseudo or a, what we call it, the milonga with training wheels. So a milonga is what we call the dance party of Argentine tango. And we have certain rules and etiquette surrounding these milongas. And for the beginner students, it's important to understand those rules of etiquette so that they feel comfortable when they go to a real milonga. So we set up the tables and we gather around and we begin to play the music in what's called tandas, like sets of music. We explain to the beginners how to invite one another to come to the dance floor and have a dance. And all of that is quite a big part of the learning experience. So each segment of the boot camp is quite different. And we do even have segments where we get to sit down and rest our feet and talk about the music, for example, so you can save your feet.
For people who get the bug and really delve into it, how important do you think it is for them to, and you mentioned that you were BT with a lot of your travel, how important do you think it is for people to travel to, say, Paris or Argentina or Japan to connect with the tango scenes there?
Well, I think the most important place for people to travel and connect with this dance is the home of the dance, which is Argentina. And most people do. It's surprising of the hundreds of people in the Bay Area that dance Argentine tango. you're probably looking at more than 50% of them who have traveled to Argentina to experience the dance in what we call the Mecca of Argentine tango. And I take a group there every March, and we typically go with 20 to 60 of our students, and we travel there and enjoy at what's called the International Tango Congress in Buenos Aires.
Okay, great. And where here in San Francisco can people dance?
There's many, many places. There's a popular website called tangomango.org, which lists all the activities of the Bay Area, as well as an association called the Bay Area Tango Association, and their website is batango.com. The classes that I teach are at Cheryl Burke Dance every Tuesday night. Also, along with Adolfo, we have a club. We have a tango party every Thursday night at the Verdi Club. You might know the place, which is in the Potrero Mission area. And there we have classes, and then a milonga every Thursday, and then the boot camps that I do at Linden Street Dance. But my cards are on the table outside, so
Excellent. You're
free to take one and send me an email. I'll be glad you put you on my mailing list.
Sounds good. So we are nearing the end of this program, at least the interview portion. We're going to be dancing out in the library, and of course, all of you are... we want you all to stay. So I'm wondering if you'd like to, we have one more dance to close, and I'm wondering if you'd like to sort of demonstrate the footwork up here and then close with the dance, or do the footwork demonstration out there?
I think we'll do the footwork out there.
Okay.
For those of you who want to stay around and learn a few steps of Argentine tango, we make it really easy. That's our specialty. And so we hope that you will stick around. But we'll close maybe with the dance called La Cumbrecita. How many of you have heard of that song before? It's a very famous, the most famous Argentine tango song in the world, La Cumbrecita. It was originally written as a march, and it was later turned into a tango. And this song is always played as the last song of any dance party that we have, and it signals the end of the party. It's also the time when the couple should return to dancing with their significant other. If they've been all night dancing, perhaps with various friends, they will always take their significant other or the person they came with for this very last dance of the evening. And perhaps in this dance, we could demonstrate for you the use of the cabeceo, which is the way that the leaders and followers invite one another to the dance floor. So rather than going right up to them as they would in a ballroom and asking, do you want to dance, they do it by way of a nod of a head. The cabeceo, it's called cabeza, being head. Cabeceo is the word used to describe this nod. So perhaps Bob could do a little demonstration of the cabeceo. So I'll be sitting here, and I'll let Bob invite me to the dance floor. So first the couples must hear the music, because we pick partners based on the music. So the music starts, and then we look around the room and sort of catch eye with somebody that we want to dance with. And so we catch the eye, and then we kind of, and I see him nodding, so I kind of nod in agreement. And then we meet on the dance floor. So we'll invite the dancers to the dance floor for one last dance. Thank you.
Our thanks to Christy Coty, founder, artistic director, and choreographer of Libre Tango Dancers, as well as the amazing group of dancers that she brought with her tonight.
We ask the dancers to come up front, take a bow.
Oh, yes, please, everybody come up front, take a bow. While I give the closing remarks, thank you to the dancers. We thank our audiences here on the radio, television, and the internet. I'm Gina Valeria, and now this meeting of the Commonwealth Club of California, celebrating more than a century of enlightened discussion, is adjourned. Thank you.